Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Zooming around on the ice, whether indoors or out, is a great way to embrace winter and get some exercise. At the same time, my guest is Dr. Angela Smith. She's an orthopedic surgeon at Nemours Alfred DuPont Hospital for Children in Wilmington, Delaware, and she's also a past president of the American College of Sports Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Smith. Let's talk about ice skating, the fitness benefits. Right now, everyone's in the winter mode, you know, we're all about to get our storms, and ice skating can be a little daunting. You think of sitting around on your tush and falling, and it can hurt and it's chilly, but there are really some great benefits. So speak about ice skating for us, won't you?
Well, the first lesson everybody learns is how to fall. When we're teaching skating to youngsters or to older people doing it for the first time, we literally start with teaching people how to fall because you may spend a little time on your tail. So you learn how to fall safely, not breaking wrists, but landing on maybe the better padded parts of you, which for most of us are going to be our bottom. And then you also learn how to get up, getting onto all fours, just like a child learning to crawl, and then putting your feet one after the other between your hands, and then you can stand up with good balance. So it is very important to learn to fall safely because when you're starting out, you may do a fair amount of it. But once you get going, then you're going to find it is so much fun. And to me, one of the best benefits of skating is that it's one of what we call the lifetime sports. You can do it literally as soon as you can walk and pretty well as long as you can walk, or even if you're just pushed around in a chair, you can do it as long as you live. So that's a really great benefit of skating.
Well, I always do love to watch people trying to get up because that is quite a funny sight. And yes, it can be a very humorous sport. And as you say, learning to fall is a great beginning. So let's first start with calories. People want to know, is ice skating a great calorie burner? Is it good for our cardiovascular system?
It's like everything else. However much effort you put into it, that's how much energy you burn. So if you are just pulled around on a rope, you're not going to burn up a whole lot of energy. You're not going to use a lot of calories. But if you're, say, speed skating for an hour, you're going to burn up 600 to 800 calories. If you're a figure skater, like the ones that are going to be on the ice in Sochi soon, then they're burning up, depending on what they're doing, between about 400 and 700 calories per hour if they're skating hard and not stopping a lot. So it can be a huge calorie burner right up on an order close to cross-country skiing, or it can be more like walking, about 70 calories per mile.
Wow, you know, that's great. And those females and males and the competitive things we're going to see at Sochi soon is one of my favorite parts of the Olympics. It's so beautiful to watch them floating around, really floating on the ice. Now, they wear little skirts and beautiful outfits, but when we're going, you know, whether it's outside or even inside, the inside ice rinks tend to be pretty chilly. So what should we wear different than whether we're skiing or sledding? What do we wear? We want to be movable, but we want to be warm.
Well, if you watch those really spectacular athletes who you're currently seeing in sequins and feathers and watch them in their practice rinks at home, they do just like you and I do. They're in lots of layers. So they're going to start with some warm underwear and maybe some woolly leggings and several layers of undershirts, followed by a medium layer of pants and tops, and then usually a heavier layer on top of that. And, of course, not to forget hats and mittens, even for these elite skaters, because they're going to start off warm as well. And then as they warm up from the inside out, they can begin to shed these outer layers so that eventually they get down to maybe just what you see in the warm-ups that they'll show you on Olympic ice, which they look like they've just got on a tank top and tights. But the reality is they started out with a lot more layers as well. Now, when you're going to be outside, you really want to layer up and also think about the wind. So you want to have some good wind resistance. And if it's really cold out, you want to be sure that even your face is protected, because once the wind chill gets below zero, the face can cause frostbite really fast.
So, Dr. Smith, let's give a little lesson here, and I think that it's important if people take lessons, if they really want to take up skating. But since the most common injuries are to the wrist, as you mentioned, backwards or falling backwards, as you mentioned earlier, or falling backwards onto your tailbone, do you want to give people some advice about skating, whether they should be loose, keep their knees bent, skating too stiffly or too straight up? Give us some advice because you're a skater yourself, correct?
That's right. I've competed most of my life and love it. It's one of the few sports that you can still actually compete at when you're 60. Not many that you can do that in and still have a good time competing with teenagers, which you can't do in too many other sports, and having a great time with it. But one of the things that you want to be thinking about when you first learn to skate is that you want to keep your center of gravity low. But before you even step onto the ice the first time, check the skates, because we always hear about people saying they can't skate because they have weak ankles. And weak ankles, as you may have heard, are really a myth. Weak ankles just means that you don't have skates that are fitting right. So most of the time, you need to try on skates that are a full size smaller than your shoe size. Now, obviously, if your toes are so cramped that they're falling to sleep, that's not a great idea. But you want to aim for something that's very snug. If you have on really thick socks, then you may need to wear your regular shoe size, but you're probably going to aim for one size smaller. Then once you've got some skates that are holding up your feet and you try walking in the skates just on the rubber matting or whatever you have outside the rink, try walking like a penguin with your heels together, feet turned out just a little bit, and barely moving, almost looking like one of those little toy dolls that kind of rocks from side to side. And then we suggest, and this is whether I'm teaching 2-year-olds or 50-year-olds, we suggest that when you first get on the ice, you have your arms in front of you a little bit, kind of like a balancing thing, like as if you were getting ready to be on a tightrope with your arms a little in front of you, and your knees are bent, and you keep just doing that sort of toddling walk. And it's amazing how that toddling walk turns very quickly, within a couple of minutes, into actual skating, rather than clinging to the side where your feet kind of go sliding, like looking like a cartoon sometimes, and trying to make it work. That eventually works, but it's a lot easier to do it kind of by yourself. You know, a lot of rinks these days, and even out by a lot of ponds, they have either a cone you can push around or these little walker-like things or a chair that will put your body weight forward and have your hands in front of you. So with knees a little bent, body weight a little bit lowered, and leaning a bit forward, it usually works.
I love that description, Dr. Smith. It's perfect, and I can picture it just beautifully on learning to skate, just like you say, and walking like a penguin. Now, what if the skates feel too tight, like around the ankle, or do you loosen up the laces? How tight should a skate be on?
Oh, wow. Great question. Now, people usually forget that there is a real art to how you lace the skate. You want there to be plenty of room in the toes. So if you're like me and have a pretty wide ball of the foot, that can be tough to get. So I have to take the bottom, the part near the toe, and loosen the laces all the way out. I mean, all the way, as far as the skate will go. Put my foot in, and then I don't even try to tighten those laces that are down by the toe. Maybe that whole lower third, up almost until the instep. Then right as it gets close to the ankle, there may be 3 or 4 lace crossings right there that I tighten up. And I actually usually tie a knot right there. But people who are just starting to skate may not want to do that. But that secures the fact that the lower part of the skate stays just like I want it. And then I can make the upper, that part where the hooks are, I can make that part be just as loose as I want. Now, if you're looking
well,
at...
Well, we're out of time, Dr. Smith. Thank you for such great advice. And skating is really a great way to work out and a great way for the family to get together and get healthy as a family, too. And it's lots of fun. So listen to this podcast again and learn how to skate. This is Melanie Cole for Train Your Body on Radio MD. Stay well.